cuts are blood money. People will die.
Many more people, millions, hundreds of thousands of people will die if this bill passes.
1 to 2,000 people will die if you cut 750,000 people from Medicaid.
Everybody's dying. 100,000, 200,000, 300,000. I die laughing when I hear the Democrats because they know it's all going down. Obamacare's going down. Didn't work. They want us to be on single-payer system. They want government-run health care. And the Republicans, meanwhile, have, in my mind, bollocks this up pretty badly. American people don't know what the Republicans really think, except for a few senators. They know what I think Senator Lee and Cruz and Senator Rand Paul think. They want much more of a free market approach to health care. And Senator Rand Paul from the great state of Kentucky joins us now, and we're delighted to have him on. Senator Paul, how are you?
Very good, Laura. Thanks for having me.
I can never tell if you're thrilled or not because you always keep it really even. That's why, you know, you're a doctor. The doctors like to keep it very, like, you could have just hit lotto, and I would say, how you doing, Senator Paul? I'd be like, I'm doing pretty well, Laura.
No, just like, now I'm getting my tax accountant to decide how to spend my billions, but I'm not getting too crazy about it.
Yeah, well, I've known you for so long, I can tease you. Senator Paul, the Democrats are playing the sky is falling routine, and when you're in opposition, it's easy to do that. But I found this meeting at the White House where, I guess, Mitch McConnell's, it was his idea to bring everybody to the White House. Everybody sits around a table when there wasn't really we weren't really all that close to a deal. The president now kind of, it was Mitch McConnell's bill. Now it's, I guess the blame is spread around to the president at this point. I wasn't thrilled to bring everybody there when this thing hadn't even been, worked out yet. But what were your thoughts on that meeting?
Well, I was actually there earlier, and I spoke with the president, alone for about an hour or so, and we talked about a lot of ideas, and then he called me a little bit later in the day. And one of the ideas that he and I talked about, I think, actually has some real merit, and that is splitting the bill in two. The problem is that conservatives like myself, we want a repeal bill, and we're not too happy about loading it up with all kinds of
right.
Christmas ornaments and federal giveaways. And some in our caucus want all these giveaways, and they want to keep Obamacare. But what if we split it into two bills? And one bill is primarily a repeal bill. We repeal the taxes. We repeal as many of the regulations as we can. And we do some Medicaid reform. And then the other bill has all the bells and whistles, Christmas ornaments, and free goodies that Democrats love and also some Republicans love. And then we vote on them separately. And in the end, we may be able to get repeal that way. But if you load up the repeal bill, I mean, there is a rumor now that they're going to load up the repeal bill with tens of billions of more dollars than they already have. And we already are keeping the Obamacare subsidies, keeping the regulations, and it looks like we're also going to keep the Medicaid expansion. And that's not enough for the moderates. They want more money. They're talking about $45 billion for opioid treatment without any clue as to what you would do with that enormous amount of money. You could buy a small state for $45 billion, so nobody has any idea what they're going to do with that, but it's just like, we got to throw money at this problem because, that's what Democrats would do and that's what big government Republicans would do. But, it's a real problem. But if you separate the bill into two, I think we could get repeal passed.
The fact that the public seems to have a more approving view of Obamacare today, I find disturbing. I don't believe every poll, and I think it's probably exaggerated, but what can be done on a communications level by Republicans? I mean, you've been doing your best going on media explaining why a free market approach to health care would actually bring down costs, which is understandable for most people. The general communication strategy has been lacking, I think.
The establishment Republicans in Washington have no clue how to sell freedom. And the thing is you have to acknowledge from the beginning, selling an abstraction like freedom, choice, selling that is more difficult than saying, hey, I'm going to give you something for free. So we have to be better at it. But one of the things that we should be telling the public is 20 million people were left without insurance under Obamacare, and that the free market could help them. If we legalize inexpensive insurance, we could open the marketplace to 20 million people. Also, many of the people that were given free stuff through Medicaid expansion, we could get them inexpensive insurance, but we have to have freedom, which means you got to legalize the sale of inexpensive insurance. You got to get rid of all of the Obamacare regulations. But this is a big debate we're having in our caucus. A third to a half of the Republican Senate caucus wants to keep all the regulations because they do not believe the marketplace will be able to help people. They think basically in the marketplace, no one will have any protection for pre-existing condition. And they fail to remember that before all of these rules, the vast majority of insurance sold in our country did have protection for pre-existing condition, and it was tacked on as a fee onto your insurance, or you joined a group, and your group had the leverage to demand that in the terms of the contract.
What about pre-existing conditions, however? I mean, even with the group admission, I mean, the idea that everybody with a pre-existing condition should be is able to get health care, how do those numbers really add up? I mean,
well,
I think that's the, part of the rub.
Here's the interesting thing is that about 40% of the countries on Medicaid or Medicare, they're protected against pre-existing conditions. The remaining 60%, about, you know, 80% of that's on insurance and 20% has no insurance. For those who do have insurance, the vast majority of group plans, every group plan in the country is protected against pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Some through market leverage and some through pre-existing law that predated Obamacare. What I would like to do is to get people in the individual market into group insurance. So I do think that it's unfair to get insurance through the individual market, and I think it's an artifact of government policy that related your insurance to your employment. So small groups and individually employed people are at a disadvantage to large groups. But the way we fix this is if you're a plumber, a welder, a farmer, and you work and you and your spouse are individually insured, we should let you join a group. The Farm Bureau, the credit unions, the chamber, you should be able to join a large group, and then you become like a big corporation. You get the discounts through leverage, but you also will get protected from pre-existing condition because all group coverage protects against that.
Well, and right now it seems that the liberal Republicans, Murkowski and Collins, and Collins came out after that meeting, I'm sure you saw, Senator, and proceeded to, you know, really criticize the president for having, you know, no political experience and he doesn't know how to get his agenda through. And I found that to be ridiculous, as if it's not the president's bill. It's Mitch McConnell's bill. He's the one who's supposed to gather the caucus together and get it done. But you know, you got a lot of liberal Republicans.
Actually, I find the president.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I find the president very open, actually. Open to making the bill better, open to making it more conservative, and probably more open to negotiation. We still have had no real outreach as far as negotiating with us from anybody in the Senate leadership.
What about working with the Democrats? Because now they're talking about, look, if this doesn't get done soon after the 4th of July recess, then it's time to work with the Democrats and just do something. I mean, is that an option?
Well, the interesting thing is my idea to break it in two does work with Democrats. It'll be only Republicans on the repeal bill, but on the big spending, here's all these federal goodies bill, Democrats will vote for that. You know, so if you reauthorize the S-CHIP program, which is kind of Medicaid for children expansion, which we've had for a while now, every Democrat's going to vote to reauthorize that. If it takes putting federal goodies on there for the big government Republicans, they could separate out some of the big government stuff that conservatives object to. Don't put it on the repeal bill, put it on the S-CHIP bill. And so what happens is one of the bills, the big spending bill, will be bipartisan, big government Republicans and Democrats, and the repeal bill will probably include all Republicans. You could get all 52 if you narrow it to a repeal bill and take all the big federal spending and put it on some other bill.
I think that is a much better idea. It's clean. I thought the problem all along was when people said repeal and replace. I think people should have just stuck with repeal, and then of course you work on the best way forward, which would include your ideas and maybe some other free market ideas. But this whole, when you linked it, you had to do repeal and replace, and that became the meme. I just think you that's when the narrative got lost. Obamacare was unpopular. We will repeal it, and then we will work on the proper reform. That just seems like the better.
I think and somehow it was we spoke past each other, because when I said repeal and replace, I meant replace it with freedom,
right,
with the marketplace. And other people thought that meant replace it with another government
goodies
program that's just slightly less expensive than Obamacare. So now we're looking at something, it's like, oh, it's 80% as expensive as Obamacare, and it's like, oh, that's a huge success. But I just don't think it'll work, because the basic structure of Obamacare is you can buy insurance after you're sick, and then we're going to regulate insurance and increase the cost of insurance such that normal, young, healthy people will not want to buy it because it's so expensive. That remains right now, because we're keeping 10 of 12 regulations. Most of the cost of insurance is from the regulations, and we're keeping that. And the real danger is Republicans, if they pass this, will end up owning health care, and in a year everybody's going to come back and say, my rates went up 25%. There's still a death spiral, and there's still only one insurer in the marketplace, and people are going to say, well, why did Republicans feed us a bill of goods?
We're talking to Rand Paul from Kentucky. This is what Charles Krauthammer said with me on the special report panel, which alludes to what you were referring to.
In that CBO report, they projected $320 billion surplus coming out of this bill, which means that Mitch McConnell can deal from that lump of money, some of it maybe, to buy off the senators who are holding out. For example, if there's somebody who thinks that we should be doing more for opioid, you could throw in a few billion.
Ohio.
Right, if you've got a ton of money, so he's got chips that he can deal.
So I went crazy when I heard that on the panel. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Now it's the Cornhusker kickback for Republicans.
Yeah, and you also have to realize that they're measuring it against a baseline that includes $500 billion in debt. So if we stay on the baseline, we have $500 billion in debt. If we come off the baseline a little bit and make the growth a little bit slower, there's some savings, but they're wanting to spend those savings. But really, there are no real cuts. So the Democrats are completely wrong on this when they say, oh, you're cutting Medicaid and thousands of people are going to die. There are no cuts in Medicaid. There's a slowdown in the rate of growth of Medicaid.
Oh, and they trashed Kellyanne Conway for saying that.
Hyperbole. Yeah.
They trashed her. I want to ask you very quickly, Senator Paul, about the fake news coming out of CNN. Of course, you get the three journalists who are these vaunted, much heralded journalists, Pulitzer winner, nominee for the Pulitzer, terminated. We also had other false stories in CNN about James Comey, which then had to be corrected by James Comey during his testimony. And they are basically saying now that, the White House and Republicans, by talking about fake news, are making our lives dangerous, because now unhinged people will be targeting the press. This, of course, after the free speech attacks on campuses, Steve Scalise shooting, the Black Lives Matter, aggression toward police officers, et cetera, et cetera. What's your take on the fake news meme, and whether the White House should drop that or what?
You know, I think the whole Russia thing has been a witch hunt, and they take things that are very innocent and try to sound like they're really macabre, and this is breaking news. We are breathlessly reporting that Senator Jeff Sessions one time met with the Russian ambassador, which is a very innocent thing, but now they make it out to be something that portends some great collusion. And I think Alan Dershowitz was best on this. He says, look, I'm a liberal Democrat that voted for Hillary Clinton, and yet if everything were true that they're alleging, which right now it looks like none of it's true, but if everything were true that they allege about Russia, there still wouldn't have been a federal law broken. And so these people have just gone, everybody, over the top on Russia. But I think it's sour grapes. They lost the election. They all expected Hillary Clinton, and they're so sad and bereaved that all they can do is attack Trump nonstop. But you've got to have news that people are interested in listening to. And if you tell half of the public that you're going to bash Trump every day, you're going to have trouble with your viewership.
I think you have to be at least fair and cover the other stories and their own fullness and with the requisite reportage that should follow them. Senator Rand Paul, thank you for your voice and what you're trying to do to inject some liberty and common sense principles in this healthcare debate. We really appreciate it. Have a wonderful Independence Day. We'll take a break. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.